Christmas Eve to the Heart of Christ Church, where we are going to begin our Christmas message. And in it, we are going to come before the Lord, because how many of us on Christmas Eve, and it's in the title, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. How many of us love to hear the bells on Christmas Day? Okay, now many of you probably thought we were going to sing that, and we were, but then we decided to go live and we can't. So I'm going to talk about it. It speaks in that wonderful song about the reality that in our life there is turmoil, there is trouble, and even on Christmas Day there are many people who have a hard time saying peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But the part that I want us all to remember is that peace on earth came 2,000 years ago as a baby to pay a price that you and I could not pay. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world. It is a proven fact, and I have many people who will say to me, well, but how do you know it was a fact? It is written in history. There is so much extra biblical context about the life and time of Jesus Christ that it cannot be denied. But yet there are scoffers, are there not? But we all know that every year when Christmas comes, what happens to the world? Does it seem to get just a moment nicer for just a little bit of time until supper's over and everybody goes to sleep, right? Then we wake up the next day and we've got indigestion from all that food that we ate. And then we got to pay the bills for all those Christmas presents that we bought and shouldn't have. That's life, isn't it? Welcome to 2023. And 2024 is right around the corner. But I want to tell you right now, there's going to come a time when there'll be no more time. And I think it's getting here a whole lot quicker than a lot of people want to think it is. And today I've got a message that I want to share with you, because in the midst of the darkness, this song that we were going to sing speaks of in the midst of the darkness, yet those bells rang out. In the midst of the darkness of ancient time, the angels sang out and they spoke of something that was coming. Jesus has come when? In the fullness of time. Is that not what the scripture says, Pastor Allen? In the fullness of time, God sent Jesus into the world. What does that mean? It means darkness. I want you to think about this. From the time of creation, how long did it go until Jesus came? 4,000 years. 4,000 years, according to the history of the Bible. 4,000 years people walked in darkness. What was that darkness? It was sin. It was death. Absence from God. The inability to be one with Him again. And God said, the fullness of time has come. It's now time for daybreak. You see, God doesn't have a wristwatch. God wears time on His hand. We wear a watch to tell time. No, God tells time what to do. And we need to remember that. He is outside of time. Time has no meaning for Him. Time only has meaning for us. It's only been established for us. And in the fullness of time, Jesus came. And as you and I think about the truth of that, what brings hope in all of our lives in the midst of darkness? I haven't even opened my sermon yet. Can you believe that? Isn't that amazing? I want you to think about where we are. If you have a Bible with you, turn to Lamentations. If you don't worry about it. I'm going to turn there and I'm going to read it to you. The book of Lamentations, and that comes to us, Jeremiah here is speaking to us. He was the lamenting prophet, because all he did was want to cry because of everything they see. He was called the weeping prophet. So when we read these words, I want you to come to mind of what's going on here, because I want you to think about where we are and where our hope is. From the 22nd verse, chapter 3, we read these words. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. Now you may ask yourself, what kind of Christmas reading is that? Well, if you go back just two verses, guys, it tells us there, when do we meet God? When are God's passions new? Every what? Morning. Every morning. Now, how many of you know how the Jewish calendar works? What is a Jewish day? And no, Pastor Allen, you can't tell anybody. What is a Jewish day? When does it begin, Brother Wendell? No. It begins at sundown. So what comes before day in a Jewish day? Night. Because it mimics God, not man. God had darkness, okay? Why? Because we brought it. That's because of us and our choice. But God brought the daylight when it seemed the darkest. And the day ends the day. The light ends the day. But we also need to remember that it is in the beginning of that light we find hope. We find the ability to see, to be illuminated, to be safe in our travels. Because please remember, in that day and age, and even now, it's not very safe to be out there at night. I know some of you. I know the way you drive. But when we think about where Jesus is, He is the daybreak. That's my sermon title today. Jesus Christ is the breaking of day. And it is always the breaking of day that brings us hope. Because in that breaking of day, there is something new yet to come. And we're not stuck in that darkness. How many of us in the darkness, when things are dark in your life, all you do is fret and you go inward? But when the light comes, when light comes, when hope comes, all of a sudden we're able to see beyond ourselves. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He gave us the ability to see beyond the grave into the hope of eternity as He came as a babe. But He didn't stay a babe, because that babe didn't do anything except show us how to live. He showed us how to be a human being, to be dependent upon His mother, to be dependent upon His father, to be dependent upon the Father for all things. And then He became a man. When He became a man, He did His own thing, right? No, He did not. And we understand that, but many of us forget. How was Jesus born? He was born in darkness. Joseph wanted to put Mary away. I mean, we heard that today at our morning service. Joseph wanted to put her away, but God sent an angel to him to bring light, to bring understanding, to bring illumination as to what was going on. And as soon as Joseph was illumined, as soon as Joseph, the dream was over and it was time for daybreak, Joseph understood and accepted the truth and walked therein, and our Savior came into this world. In fact, he believed so much so he did not have union with her until after the child was born, that she would remain a virgin the entire way through her pregnancy unto the delivery. That's the kind of man he was. When light entered in, darkness fled. And that's what happens for each and every one of us. We must flee that darkness, because the darkness has to flee us. When I think about what the Scripture tells us, when we read it, Bob and Beth read it to us from the book of Isaiah in the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 7, it is amazing to me, because it says, "But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt, but later on he shall make it glorious. By the way of the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness, and they will be glad in your presence. As with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. When Jesus was born, when he came into our world, he accomplished each and every one of those things. One of the things that I want us to remember is, as we read this, what was the oppression that he was speaking of? It was the oppression of Satan. It was death itself. Jesus came to take death out of the equation. Please remember, God did not bring death into the equation. Prior to sin, nothing died. No one died. At the end of creation, what did God say about creation? It was very good. When did death come in? After creation. When man sinned against God, and God spoke the curse unto man, because he told them, "Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you do," what did he say? He didn't say if. He said, "For when you do, you will surely die." God already knew that they were going to. You know, one of the amazing things that I think of, what other tree was in that garden? What other tree was in that garden that they could have eaten from? The tree of life. The tree of life was in that garden. They could have eaten from that and lived forever. But guess where they found themselves? In the garden beside the tree that they were told not to eat. Why were they even there? Why weren't they over there where the other tree was planted? Because they were told you can't do this. How many of you are just like that? Yeah, I got smiles looking back at me right now. Yeah. Tell me I can't do something and I'll show you. Yeah, you can laugh, sis. I know you. We're all there. Thank you, great grandma and great grandpa Adam and Eve. But you and I have a Redeemer. Time before time, he stood in heaven with the Father, and God prepared Christ before time ever began to be our Savior. He prepared Jesus to take upon himself all that we are. How can I prove that? In the book of Matthew, in chapter 4. The book of Matthew, in chapter 4. This is amazing. And it's one of the scriptures that doesn't get read very often at Christmas time, but it's something that you all need to understand. Directly after Jesus' temptations in the wilderness, he had gone out, if you remember, he had been baptized by John so that all things would be done in accordance to God's holiness and righteousness. And then as he went out, he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. After the last temptation, this is what we read from verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea. Please listen to what I'm saying. Which was by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. What area was living in darkness? Isn't that what Isaiah said? This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Where did Jesus go to start his ministry? The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We need to understand, Jesus didn't come just to be a baby in a manger. Jesus came to be our Savior. Jesus came to die on a cross for each and every one of us. And we celebrate this day because he came. And we know what it leads to. But we're not stuck here at the cross. Can I get an amen, Peter? We're not stuck here at the manger. Because he went on to be that man. He went on to give us the hope of glory. He went on to pay a price that you and I could not pay, ever pay, that we would know life and know it to the full. Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." And you all need to understand this. I know our church does understand it, but I'm talking to all you folks out there on internet land that may be tuning in to us for the very first time. And if you are, God bless you and welcome. But I want you all to remember, what does it tell us? What does it tell us in John 1 and 1 through 5? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. When Jesus came into the world, and I think this is amazing because we sing the songs and we just sung them today. When Jesus came into the world, when was it? It was night. It was night because day was breaking. Jesus Christ was coming into the world. It was night and day was breaking. The angels showed up. The angels are what? They are light. They are angels of light. And they showed themselves to the shepherds who were out in their flocks by night, watching over their sheep. He didn't go to the kings and to all the palaces. Where did he go? To the common people, to the lowest people. Why? Because who were the ones who were going to receive him? The kings and all those who had power that would deny him or try to kill him, and we know they did. Or the people who would see the hope that was there to come. You see, God knows who are His. Now, is it impossible for someone of great stature to come to the Lord? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But He knows who are His own. And He came as the King of Kings, but He came not to be a king at this time. He came to be a Savior. He came to give us life. And to give us that life, He had to come into life. And when we think about where He was and who He is, and should we even be celebrating this day? I mean, how many of us realize, you know, does the Bible tell us anywhere that we should celebrate this day at all? So why do we? Because it's one of the most important days in our lives. I don't celebrate it because God said set it aside as a holy day. I celebrate it because God in me made it a holy day. Because it is forever day in me now. Now that the Christ has come, now that Christ is dwelling in here, I dwell in daylight all the time. Can you say amen to that? And in that I will celebrate. Do you know heaven celebrated? Heaven celebrated. If heaven celebrates, shouldn't we? Look in your Bibles. If you have your Bible, I'm going to turn to the book of Luke. I'm going to turn to the book of Luke. And I'm in Luke 2, 1 through 20. It says, now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them, here's one of those that I spoke of earlier today, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly, how many of you catch this? And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. Heaven celebrated the coming of Christ into this world. Should we celebrate the coming of Christ into this world? Yes. Yes, and we do, and we say praise God, amen, because it's not happy holidays, it's Merry Christmas. We have joy because the Christ came. We celebrate Christ's Mass. And I love our Catholic brothers and sisters for what they have done here, because that is Christ's service, that we are having a service of worship to remember and celebrate the coming of our Savior, the coming of life into our world, the coming of hope, the coming of joy, the coming of gladness. I'm telling you right now, there should be, I asked the kids earlier, I said, are you excited for Christmas? And they were like, because they were probably wondering, I have no idea what gifts I got. Well, we know the gift that they got, amen? And His name is Jesus Christ, and I can't wait for the day when they come to that realization of why they're here. Why did you come tonight? You certainly didn't come to hear me preach. I'm not that good. I hear crickets. But Jesus Christ is. Amen. And in that we stand. Because He came. The whole heavens. Can you imagine what it was like on that night? Can you imagine what it was like on that night when the heavens parted? And the heavenly hosts. Can you imagine what a multitude of the heavenly hosts looked like? We're talking shepherds. What kind of holy things did they see? And all of a sudden, the sky opens up, and they have an angelic choral happening before them. And a multitude. How much is a multitude? How many angels are there? Thousands. It says innumerable. The Scriptures tells us they're innumerable. That is infinity and beyond. Well, nobody seemed to get that one. I guess that's a little old. And it's not a toy story. It's a truth story. It's His story. And we're here to celebrate too. We're not angels, but we'll judge the angels. And if the angels sang, should we not sing? Should we not glory in our God and Savior? Because I'm going to tell you right now, this night is soon to be over, and it's going to be day once again. Because we need to remember, there is morning and there is evening in the first day. And there was morning and there was evening in the second day. And there was morning and there was evening. How many days were there? Seven. How long do you think this world's going to last? Brothers and sisters, I tell you, seven. 7,000 years. But you see, we all have to remember something. Christ gets to reign for one millennia. We're in the year 6,000 right now. We're about at the end of 6,000. Seven's going to start. I am praising the Lord. Do you see it coming? Do you feel it in the air? Do you see the things of tribulation beginning to happen? And that's the last night. That's the last night before the seventh starts. But then you see even the seventh ends, because then eternity comes in. And what happens at the end of the millennium, people? Night comes one more time. But then it's the dawning of a new day. Because at the end of the millennium, when Satan is released for 13 years, he tempts all the people once again, and they come against the Lord one last time. And then Christ crushes that rebellion, and the eternal state is ushered in. Brothers and sisters, I want you to think about where we are. Do we have a reason to celebrate tonight? Oh, do we have a reason to celebrate tonight? Tomorrow is Christmas Day. I want you to think about this. Did you know Jesus celebrated at this time of year? How many of you know Jesus celebrated at this time of year? He celebrated at the Feast of Dedication. What's the Feast of Dedication? That's not one of God's appointed feasts, is it, Brother Wendell? What is the Feast of Dedication? The Feast of Dedication was something that the scribes and Pharisees brought in after the Maccabees. It's called Hanukkah. where they celebrate the lamp, the oil in the lamp, lasting 7 days until help came and delivered the people of Israel. Jesus was at the temple. We just read it the other day. I want you all to go look it up. He was at the Feast of Dedication. And while he was there, was he speaking about the oil and the miraculous thing that happened? No. Was he speaking about the Maccabees and the wonder that had happened with that? No. What was he speaking about? What did he tell the people while he was there? You all know because I preached it. I am God. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Not because a baby came. We celebrate Christmas because God came. God came as a man to love us, the unlovable, to show us hope in the simplest of things, life from life. But life is demanded, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus came to love you, to love I, to give his life's blood, to give us the hope of glory. And yet, he lives. Today, I'm telling you, he's coming again and he's coming soon. Are you ready for him? How many of you are ready to open that present, that gift, one last time? Because it's the last time we'll have to open it. Because once we've opened that gift, once we have received him in heaven, once we have been transformed into his bride, we'll never have to worry about darkness again. You and I will be whole, for we are and will be fully saved at that time. And it's coming. It's getting close. But my question to you is, what about your friends and your family? So tomorrow when you're sitting around the table and you're sharing all that good food and eating far too much and drinking far too much and laughing about jokes that you really don't understand or don't want to, I ask you to think about what or whom you really ought to be talking about. Why are you there? You're there to love your family, right? They're there to love your friends. But whom should you be talking about? Who is our hope? Why are we there? You know, in this world that's falling apart, how many of you think this world's falling apart? How many of us, every day we get up, have hope that yet there's more to come? And the only reason we hope is because his name is Emmanuel. God with us. May God be with you. May God bless you. May God walk with you. May God strengthen you. May God receive you and may you receive him. May his joy, may his hope, may his compassions all fall upon you and may you receive them not to keep but to give away, for he is the hope of the world. He is our Christ. He is Yeshua. Messiah, Jesus, the Christ. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you, and we receive that blessing, that benediction, because, Lord, each and every one of us needs to know and understand that you are coming again. You have spoken it to us, and we believe it. We hold to it. At the end of the book of Revelation, you have told us that all things have been delivered unto us. We have all the wisdom and knowledge that we need to live this life, to prepare for what is yet to come. May we be prepared, and may we give reason this night for the light that is our hope, the Christ child come. But then may we remember that the Christ child led us all to the cross of Calvary, for without the cross, none of us would be holy or wholly thine. So, Lord, we give thee thanks this night for your coming. But more so, we look forward. We look to the future when you will come again and you will receive your church and restore all things unto yourself as it should be, both now and forevermore. In Christ Jesus, amen. As we come to our candle lighting this night, I pray that each and every one of you would remember the words of Isaiah, because it says to us, "For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In a world of disappointment, may we remember that Jesus Christ is wonderful. In times of anxiety, may we also remember that He is our Counselor. In the seasons of instability within our own world, may we remember that He is our Mighty God. And in a culture of great uncertainty, may we remember that He is the everlasting, unchanging Father. And in a world of chaos, He is our Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.